Beautiful, Micah, beautiful. Yeah, let's go give him a round of applause. That's beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We are living out the Father God's love, and we're transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I got a couple announcements for us. First of all, if you have anybody in your life that's been burned by the church, God doesn't like church, the idea of church, kids, grandkids, we have a couple flyers in the back for our Saturday evening. It's a low impact thing. We just eat dinner, we talk about scripture and worship a little bit. So hand this to somebody that, I don't know, it's a very atypical version of church. Good to see you, Bo. Also, right after the service, we got some corned beef in the fellowship half, right? We do. We've got some corned beef sandwiches. Why is that funny? Corned beef, yeah. I guess it is a kind of a funny word. I like Danny's sense of humor, I guess. Also, this Wednesday, lunch bunch. Make sure you don't miss out. We're going to Olive Garden. The one on Huntington Beach, right, Lou?
Yes.
Right on. It's on Brookhurst, right? Beach and Warner, right around there. Okay, I've been to that one. Yeah, that's it. That's even better right there. It's also, it's a Deacon Fund Sunday, and these extra envelopes, these are over and above tithes, offerings, and gifts, and this, anything you put in this envelope and put in the offering plate goes directly to those who need, the least and the lost. A lot of people are coming into our front door, and we're blessing with lunches, Stater Brother cards, sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. And this goes towards that. Anything else? I think that's about it. Everything else is covered in this bad boy. It's the third week in Lent. Is that correct? Third Sunday. And Patrick's not here, otherwise I'd want to give him a round of applause. I'm grateful to God for him stepping in and preaching. I've heard he did an amazing job, and everybody's been saying he was a lot shorter than you were, Jason. We were out by 11. And then they also just made it possible for me and my brothers to meet up with my dad and reconnect with a bunch of family I haven't seen in a long, long time. My dad's side of the family is in Kansas City, Missouri, and it was actually amazing and terrible time at the same time, you know what I mean? Maybe you don't. All right, stand up. Let's call to worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 19, and I'll be reading it out of the King James Version. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Let's worship the Lord, maker of the sun.
Thank you.
sing and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name.
Here we go.
Sing, sing, sing.
Love for me.
Are we good? There we go. We are indeed amazed by how much God loves us. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood. From yesterday's entry in our Lenten devotional, Henry Nouwen writes, "A human being is not someone who once in a while makes a mistake. And God is not someone who now and then forgives. No. Human beings are sinners, and God is love." Will you please pray with me? Holy and merciful God, every morning your mercies are new, and we awake with the intention of being more Christ-like. And every day we fall short of your image and likeness. Forgive us for the things that we do that we know we ought not do, like gossiping, holding on to unforgiveness, telling untruths, overindulging, just to name a few. Forgive us for the things we don't do that we know we should, like spending quiet time with you and your word every day, shifting our focus off ourselves to listen to our neighbor's burden, loving wholeheartedly as you did, even loving those who seem difficult. Free us, O Lord, from our misguided ways, that we may choose to obey your will for us to the glory of your kingdom. Continue to mold us and make us into the disciples you created each one of us to be. Pour your Holy Spirit on us afresh today, that we may be your hands and feet in this world, a world that desperately needs you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. My friends, in Christ Jesus, each one of us is forgiven. Praise be to God.
Inspiration from to write her song sounds like this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
You may notice there's a little bit of a sound gap. Philip is sick. And can we give a round of applause to Sean and Kenny? They're rolling with the punches as best as they can, and you're doing a phenomenal job. Well done. That was perfect. We're third week of Lent. And it's not too late to hop on the Lent train. Make sure you get one of these devotionals. My sermon texts, I'm using this as a launching pad. And as I've been reading it every day, I've just been thoroughly blessed. Has anybody else been reading with me? It's pretty good, right? Like sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. This is A-plus stuff. And I've been very, very encouraged. So hop on the Lent train and slow down, right? And this particular message, you know, sometimes I get up here and I'm like, why did I pick that text? Why is that text in the lectionary? And I'm really dreading it. This is quite possibly the easiest text to preach on. It's so nice. And it's in the vein of that text and the way that our choir just sang it. I'm pulling from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. And when Jesus found him, that's what he was good at. After Jesus met him and transformed his life and made him into the 12, he became a story collector. So Matthew, the Gospel of, has stories, has parables. His take is excellent. So let's read our text for this morning, which comes from Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to back it up to verse 25 and read through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, slow me down. Preach through me. May my words become infused with your words and encourage us and uplift us this morning. And all God's people said, as I may have already mentioned, as I've mentioned, and most of you probably know, I wasn't here last week, and I had picked the devotional had picked the text out of John, and there's a great commentator, and his name's Dale Bruner. He was at Hollywood Press. Yeah, he was at Hollywood Press and Bel Air Press for a long, long time, and when I was at Fuller, he was writing his commentaries. He wrote a commentary on Matthew, and he wrote a commentary on John. And so Pat was preaching on John, and I said, "Hey, do you have Dale Bruner's commentary on John?" And just take it from me, it's the best commentary is written probably of on any books. Whenever he did it, it takes him, he always, his publisher would keep coming, when's you coming out, when's the book going to be done, when's going to be, and he would take, it was, he promised to be done in 3 years, and he would always take 12 to 15. And so I said, "Do you have Dale Bruner's?" And he texted back, "Actually, I have a signed copy." And so, okay, Patrick, you once again put me in my place, and you're amazing, excellent. He's actually buddies with Dale Bruner, which is kind of nice. I preach this morning, and most of my words are actually from Dale Bruner's commentary on Matthew, and he breaks up the Gospel of Matthew into two books. Chapters 1 through 12 are the Christ book, and chapters 13 through 28 are the church book. So this comes at the end of the Christ book. And would you change it? This is the one morning I put slides in the sermon. So there's a pop quiz, and Philip's not here. You guys, A plus. Once again, round of applause, please. Excellent. Dale says that the first 12 chapters of the Christ book ends with these six portraits of Jesus. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the coming judge, which he's just preached on, a portrait. And that's our text. Jesus is the present Savior. And then he goes on to Jesus is the Sabbath Lord. Jesus is the Spirit King. Jesus is the significant kinsman. So we're parked this morning on Jesus, the present Savior. And I can't help but draw my eyes to that table. And Jesus is the present Savior. That first paragraph of the text I just read and we're studying this morning. Jesus is walking along. He's just preached on kind of some harsh stuff. And then what does he do? Lord, I'm amazed by you. Everybody. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. He's just preached on the harshest stuff in the world, and then he turns the corner and he starts praising his Father. Application one, when's the last time you just broke out in praise? Because our Savior did. And why is he praising the Father? Because the message is so simple. The message is so simple. Children get it better than adults. Childlike faith is phenomenal. Anybody ever met a child? Okay, that's a couple of you refuse to raise your hands no matter what. I've never met a child. Anyway, I won't shame my congregation. But aren't they amazing? Aren't they amazing how they just take things at face value? I remember when my kids were little, and I would spend all this time figuring out what I'd get them, and they would just throw away whatever I got them and just play with the box, right? Simple. Jesus breaks out in song, starts praising, and then Jesus dives deep. That next paragraph. What's that next paragraph say? That next paragraph says, that's Jesus' claim. The doctrine of Jesus as Savior. Martin Luther was once asked by a student, and they were asking Martin Luther, how can we know about God? What about God? And he comes back with this. He says, stop speculating about the Godhead and climbing into heaven to see who or what or how God is. Hold on to this man, Jesus. He is the only God we've got. And then we come to the heart. The heart of the sermon, the heart of the text, the heart of the present Savior. Would you put up the next slide? Bruner says that in these claims, these phrases of Jesus, we see the gospel thus far. In chapters 1 through 4 of Matthew, Jesus has been talking about how he has come. Come here to me as I came to you. Take my yoke upon you as I taught you in my sermons. And learn from me as you saw me at work in my sermons, my miracles and mission in chapters 8 through 10. Because I am gentle and simple at heart. He's the present Savior. I especially experienced it as a youth pastor. Not so much as a pastor, but every once in a while, adults become honest enough that they come into my office or they ask to talk to me. And my most often time spent with students, college students as well, or a girl or a boy or a woman or a man would come into my presence and just say, I'm tired, I can't do it anymore. I can't live by these rights and wrongs. I can't live up to these expectations my parents have put on me. I can't live up to these ideals that the church has put on me. I can't do it anymore. And every time I have to come and apologize to that person for making it something it isn't. I think the church has often done the people of God a disservice and we've inadvertently proclaimed this message, clean up and then show up. Make yourselves right or you'll be talked about. You'll be rumored about. You'll be gossiped about. You'll be judged. That person's not dressed up enough. That person has too many tattoos. That person, they look angry. This devotional, Alan says this. There's a young woman from our parish came to see me. She sat down timidly. She started crying, and soon she was sobbing. How burdened she was, heavily burdened, weary from the burden. At length, she shared her burden. Actually, speaking the words of her burden brought the sobs again, racking her body, such fear, such a weariness of soul, such heaviness of heart. What do you think Jesus would say to you if he were sitting here instead of me? Now one asks that, and I ask us this morning. What do you think Jesus would say to you if he was standing here instead of me? She shook her head, not knowing. Now one writes, he would say, and I say, he would say, you are the love of my life. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I don't know if you feel very far or if you're burdened. I don't know where you are in your journeys. I assume some of you are tired. I'm assuming some of you are here this morning because God brought you here and wants to tell you this. And he wants to scream it to you through this table. Application number one, let's break out in gratitude every once in a while. How about we do it right now? Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Hold on to this, Jesus. And the invitation later in the service to the table. Come and leave those burdens here. Come and leave your grocery list coming here. Leave everything here. and experience what Martin Luther called the Great Exchange. We show up with our sins, our failures, all our mess-ups, all our stresses, all our worries, all of our peccadilloes, you know, all the ways that we're kind of messed up. We walk in here, we lay them at the foot of the cross, and through Christ's work on the cross and resurrection, he hands us his righteousness. We walk out of this sanctuary, sons and daughters of God. Amen? But just kind of keep holding on to that, because it's not a real amen, because I want us to hang on to that even through the communion. But right now, we get to respond to God's word, God's call, God's love, God's ginormous affection for you by responding and giving back just a portion of what he's given to us. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
Fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude?
I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song
you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing
just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
Monitors, please.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your songs. You got a lion inside of your songs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your songs. You got a lion.
Praise the Lord.
again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah,
beautiful. It sounded like it was raining right there for a second, right? Just filling in all the quarter notes. That was beautiful. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered around the table with his 12 disciples, and they had gathered for the Passover meal. And he said, I'm making a new covenant, and it's with my people. And like I just preached about it, this isn't a Presbyterian table. This isn't, North American table. It's not. This is the Lord's table. And the only requirement is that at some point you were weary. You were burdened. And you realized, I can't make it to the Father on my own. God sent his one and only son so that you wouldn't have to. And that by believing in his name, you trade in your unrighteousness for his righteousness. Join me in a word of prayer Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, bless these elements, bless this moment. Come near and equip us. Come near and remind us of whose we are and who we are. Come near and take our burdens once again, because we've taken them back and we're trying to do it on our own. Come near. And hand us your light yoke. Give us rest for our souls, even here, even now. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said. So he lifted up the bread and he said, this isn't the Passover bread anymore. This isn't the bread that was unleavened, symbolizing that we had to get out of Egypt so fast that we couldn't wait for the bread to rise. This is now a sign and a symbol. My body broken for you. If you have your pods, peel back that first layer. And say to your brother and sister to your right, the body of Christ. In the same way, he lifted up the cup and he said, this used to be the blood over the doorposts, sparing the firstborn from the angel of death. But now this is my blood, a new covenant. My blood shed for the remission or forgiveness of sins. And Paul later adds the words, as often as we, and that's me and you. That's right here and right now. As often as we do what we're doing, we proclaim that our sins are forgiven. Our burdens are taken away. Our weariness is taken away. We've taken on his easy yoke. We also proclaim he's going to come back for each and every one of us. He's going to wipe the tears from our eyes and said, let's party. Let's do what we are actually designed to do. So take, drink the cup of salvation. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we lift up all the hurting in our congregation. Lift up Theodore. Lift up Debbie. Lift up Dom. Lift up Buzz. We lift up Keith. Lift up Kirk and Sherry as they miss their mom out in Florida. Continue to pray for Angela over in Malawi. Continue to pray for Bev and Ruth. Jennifer's sister, Jerry. Jane's sister, Pam. Terry Welsh, Patty. Clark. Sandy Corbett Jr., Dusty, and so many more. So many more, and we give you I'll give everyone in here a little time and silence to lift up the hurting in their own lives silently. Lord Jesus, help us to share this good news. We've worshiped you. We've been equipped with your word. We've now broken bread together and gathered around the table in communion with you this morning. I pray that as the service comes to a close, you would equip us. And by your Spirit and through your Spirit, we would share share this great news of this Savior, Jesus the Christ, who invites anyone weary, anyone broken. Use us as your mouthpiece. Use us, use our legs, use our hands, use our feet. Pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said. Right after this, let's eat some. I saw there's a lot of corned beef sandwiches. Would everyone in here commit to me to not leave before all the corned beef sandwiches are eaten? That's too big of a commitment. Also, don't miss Lenten Quiet Nights. 5:30. It's a blessing and it's amazing. Don't miss Lunch Bunch over at Olive Garden. And actually, I'll do a low-key benediction. Hold out your hands, please, and just receive. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace, the shalom, the wholeness of God found in Jesus the Christ that surpasses all understanding, may that peace guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.
Oh,